Yeah. To all the ladies in the house. Ow. Another day in the ghetto. But look outside and I'm already upset, yo. It look about 102. It's a Saturday and Biggie ain't got nothing to do. I'm interrupted by phone ring. Sometimes I wish I never.
Hi, I'm Paul Warren.
And I'm Ryan Klein.
And this is another episode of SEO is Dead and Other Lies. Ryan, how are you doing on this beautiful day?
It is a beautiful day. It's April 2nd, 2024. It's a great time to be an SEO.
I don't know if that sentiment is shared by a lot of SEOs. I've been reading a lot of doom messaging on Reddit about SEO, and people are not happy. Not happy about this last update that happened.
Well, the March 5th, that's my dad's birthday.
So your dad's the reason.
Yeah, no complaints, sir. Yeah, he said, for my birthday, I want the lives of every SEO on this planet to be a little bit more difficult. And he got what he wished for. It took a while. It finally happened. Here we are.
You know, maybe in the normal SEO world, but in the local, it's really not any different. Actually, I've just seen increases since that happened. So it's been good on my side.
Well, we get to parse through all the results of Local Falconeer, just showing a few earlier today, and not to toot the horn of the capabilities that we have over here, but it's been pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'll toot the horn. We've done really well with a lot of these campaigns. Not all of them are 100%. We're not batting 1,000, but
yeah, it's not bad.
70%, you know,
your local voice for 9 or 16 square miles. It's okay. Sometimes you get 70 or 80% in a densely populated area. I think that's okay in some instances.
But while we're on the topic of local SEO, we're going to continue, I think, this series. We're just going to talk about the different ranking factors, kind of based on the studies that generally come out from WhiteSpark. I think they do a really, really good job. I know I follow the guy that's the founder of WhiteSpark on LinkedIn. That dude posts more than any other person I've ever seen on LinkedIn about local SEO. But it's usually really insightful. You know, I really recommend that you follow him. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. You know, that would probably be useful for me to mention who it is.
That's right. It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, right? There you go.
So we can use that as a launching point. And so last week we were talking about troubleshooting. Might be a little bit of overlap, but for the most part, these will be new concepts.
These are more optimizations that you can make and not necessarily like how to get something live, which I think we did a really good job covering. But the one particular optimization, which according to the study is worth the largest percentage of ranking signals, right? So it's ranking well in the map pack, is your Google business profile signals. So, and it's 32% of all ranking signals. And then the second closest one, which is on page signals, which we'll talk about next week, because that's what we're doing. We're going to review all these.
Wow, we're doing deep dives, just like the old days.
Deep dives is worth 19%. So I thought we can talk a little bit about our process and what we do and the things that we've seen work and the things that don't work at all. Some things that are, I think, go back to local SEO days of lore and people you thought maybe they worked. They really don't. But with that, why don't we just deep dive into some of these things? And we can talk about how to optimize for it.
That sounds good to me. So imagine where we're at. We did all the troubleshooting. We're past that. And we have all these beautiful profiles that are just.
Yeah.
Absolutely they're, ready.
They're live. You got them up finally. You got it verified. So now what do you do? So I can tell you this from my own experience. The number one signal for optimizing your listing is the name. So what does that mean? Well, it doesn't just mean your brand name. It could be your brand name if you have keywords in it. But if you add keywords to a name, to your business listing name, you will immediately see an increase in rankings for those keywords 100% of the time. It's wild. People do say it's kind of spammy. Here's like the workaround for it is like you can get it like a doing business as name, and then you can update like your website to incorporate that. So we work heavily in the legal space. And there's a ton of law firms that have optimized their business name to have keywords in their business listing. And they've done it purposefully for this reason. And you know what? It works. A lot of them rank really well because of it. So if you're in a situation where like you're just going by your brand name, you can just test it out. And maybe you're worried about, I don't know, are you going to get suspended if you do it? I have never once seen Google suspend any business listing for putting keywords in their name after the fact at all or before the fact. Usually what happens is Google will update it and remove whatever keywords that you've added in after a certain amount of time. Sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's a couple of weeks, sometimes it's like a year. It's weird. There's no rhyme or reason really to it. But I've never ever seen any listing suspended from it, and I've done it to hundreds and hundreds of listings. So take that with a grain of salt, I guess.
Isn't that bizarre how this is stuck? And when it really started happening, well, people have been doing it more or less. You used to see it a lot more years ago, and it was straight up just a spam listing. So there was no brand within it. It was just so and so car accident lawyers, personal injury lawyers. There wasn't even the name of a firm. There was no lawyers included. And those ranked by virtue of those keywords. And then you started seeing people append the keywords. And I remember that was maybe more so. I saw it very consistently 3 or 4 years ago. And I remember thinking, is that spam? Is that going to stick? And sure enough, it stuck. And it's just playing the game. That's just one of those play the Google game in some instances.
I see complete lead gen law firms, I guess. Maybe it's a secondary listing that they've opened, and it'll be like DUI lawyers in San Diego. And
Yep.
that's their website is DUI-lawyers-sandiego.net or whatever it is.
Those old
'Cause
school triple quadruple dashed domain names.
they don't have a big website, but it is 100% optimized for DUI lawyers in San Diego. That's all they get reviews related to, all that stuff. And they've registered this business. They've registered it like I don't even think it's a DBA. They've registered a business as this name, and that's what they built out. And it works way better than almost every other law firm in that area for those particular keywords. So, if you're thinking about maybe I should try it, try it. There's not really going to be any consequences of you doing this outside of Google removing it. And you'll probably see very, very quickly how much it really affects the rankings in the Map Pack.
Pretty quickly too. And would you say diligence is key because there's going to be information competitors edit, just Joe Schmo down the street and then Google. So if, should people be discouraged if they edit it, see results, and then gets removed and say, "Woof, okay, I did it, but I was nervous doing it, and then they already reverted, and now I'm under the scrutiny of something happening in the future."
So unless you have a DBA and you've updated the logo on your website and the name on your website to include these keywords in it, I can almost guarantee you that Google is going to remove those keywords at some point. And whether it's Google, whether it's a like a local, not a local ad, what do they call it? Whether it's a local guide that's checking this stuff or just a competitor that's removing it, I do it all the time to competitors. I remove stuff from their names. Sometimes if they have the wrong categories, I'll change that. Maybe they're a law firm and they're trying to just be like a personal injury attorney, and I'll update that to be a law firm, right? And boom, their rankings will be affected from it. It's just the rules that Google created and the rules that we live by, right? People do to us and then we have to change it back. But
After all these years, you still got that competitive nature now, don't you? And it's not exactly a negative SEO, but it sure is leveling the playing ground, I suppose.
I'm just making everyone play by the same rules, I guess. I didn't make these rules. I don't want it to be this way. Don't take this out on me. This is what
But since these are
Google
the
is
rules,
saying.
you are in the game, you might as well be the best at the game. So that's what we're gonna do.
Clients, or even if it's your own business, there isn't really any points for fourth place, right? There is some points for second and third and first, but for the most part, if you're not in the top three, no one's really going to see you. And you can talk about should you do this or not, but if your phone isn't ringing, you got to come up with something to solve it. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with following the guidelines that Google set out to use their service, right? It's not really a service, but to use their software, or whatever it is. I guess their website, not really software.
Well, I completely agree with that because we've seen it so many times it can't even count the before and after, but by no means the end all be all. It's not that, you're going across the board doing this for people and then walking away from it and moving on to the next thing.
Yeah, I'm not like moving people's pins so that everyone is located in the same building and it's like not it's filtering out everyone's rankings. I do draw a
Well, you've
line.
been, I mean, you've been tempted. Well,
No,
you've been tempted.
I would never do that
Oh,
to
okay.
I just think that I can do enough stuff to my own listing that to beat people out anyways. But I'm not like trying to negative SEO people. I'm just holding people accountable for what they're doing based on the guidelines. Which I think that's just being a good steward of your clients.
Well, I agree. I mean, we want to win on their behalf. and we have to do basically whatever it takes within reason and within legal parameters, state by state basis. What's happening next with these profiles?
So we'll move on to the next thing that you can optimize and really see a massive jump, and that is your services. So this came out probably a few months back where people noticed that if you choose Google's predefined services, you will almost immediately, I think it's within 24 hours, so not immediately, but pretty close, see increases in those keywords. And those are things like car accident litigation, truck accident litigation, motorcycle accident litigation.
So you're saying there's a litigation in addition to just the keywords? So is it just track accident litigation or is it truck accident?
So if your main category is personal injury attorney, Google's going to give you all of these subsections underneath it that it considers related to being a personal injury attorney. And then you can turn them on or turn them off depending on if you offer the service. I don't know if I've ever seen a personal injury attorney that doesn't take a car accident case or a motorcycle accident case or a truck accident case, right? So most of the time you're going to be selecting all of these. But if you don't have these selected, you're not going to show up in the map pack for searches that are related to it. So car accident lawyer, car accident attorney, or me, those types of searches, you have to have the predefined services selected for that profile. You can add your own. Now, I think the verdict is still out on how much that affects the rankings, right? So like adding car accident lawyer in addition to the predefined one that Google gives you for, car accident litigation, are you going to see a bump for the keyword car accident lawyer then? I don't really think that there's not really a whole lot of it. But for things that are like super long tail that maybe people really aren't going after, and we do have clients like that that are trying to get really specific long tail types of things, like pharmacy error lawyer, those things, it absolutely 100% works. Yeah, like if there is no predefined category for it, sorry, predefined service for that category, you can add stuff in there and that will absolutely increase your rankings for it.
When did that roll out? When were you able to input your custom service?
Oh, it's been a while. It's been a couple of years that you've been able to do that, but they were never a ranking factor until I would say about 8 months ago. It's April 2024. So I think that's about the time people noticed it actually affecting the rankings. And what's really wild is Google will sometimes update that information, but sort of leave it in this like limbo where you have to review it and accept it for it to really affect the rankings. And it'll do that all the time. Like sometimes it'll crawl like the website, I think, and then like make edits to it based on that. And then, which is why on page is important. We're going to talk about that in another episode. It'll sort of leave it in this like weird limbo where it's not really recognizing it. You'll lose rankings overnight if you don't have that checked and have those accepted on there. And it also just
adds pretty proactive. You got to be kind of on top of the profile, which I think a lot of business owners really aren't like diving into their GBPs, especially if they have more than one.
Yeah, you definitely have to be proactive in today's world of local SEO, especially with your listing, because Google changes and updates a lot of stuff about your profile, whether you want it to or not. So, regularly check in on those things and make sure that your services are there. They haven't updated your name for you. Sometimes you might add a tracking phone number and it doesn't want to accept that. I still don't really know why it does that, because it obviously allows you to add a tracking phone number and you can add it as an owner and it doesn't want you to do it. And it just won't accept the edit, which I find very strange. But, there's a lot of things like that on there that Google is just going to change and not give you a heads up about it.
Well, not just Google, but anyone that calls and, imagine, and this happens more with dental, where you'll see insurances, not to get too far away, but this is important and relevant, especially since for medical, you can include different types of insurance, correct?
That's absolutely correct. And so
which is a big deal.
Yeah. Depending on the type of business that you have, you're going to have different options of things that you can add in there. And insurance is a huge one. And a lot of businesses aren't really optimizing for that yet. And if you look at what insurances you can offer that Google will show, it's like an insane list of thousands of different types of insurances. So if you're like, oh, we take Blue Cross Blue Shield, well, there's a whole bunch of different plans underneath that, and you can pick the specific plan that it would offer. And so it gets really, really granular. But it's one of those things that people do search that. They are looking for places that are going to take your insurance, and just a lot of people aren't going to have it. And I think you might, in the near future, just be able to sort businesses by that type of insurance in the map pack.
You
They're
definitely be
sort
able
of.
because think about how customized everything is becoming with open hours, and then the ratings you're expecting, and then they're associating certain keywords. They have like the keyword bubbles that are being associated for local. I mean, that's where it's transitioning, is more customization of that particular search.
Absolutely. And so the more data that you can give your listing right now about your business, like just the more information, the better off that you're going to be in the long run. Whether or not it's being utilized currently by Google in some form of search, just absolutely do it. It's just like with the services. If you didn't do it, you were behind the eight ball when they made it a ranking signal, right? And then you had to rush in there and do it and hope that you're beating people out after the fact. So, if Google gives you an option to put something in there, put something in there.
I think it's worth even recapping to like drive this point home that the level of customization that's happening in GDP, but also happening per vertical, is becoming pretty intense. And what you see as far as additional information or specific information per vertical has changed a lot. Like you said, we're seeing how much you can put into insurance, and that'll enable people to find it with local searches. And on the other end, since Google can make these adjustments and people can make these adjustments, Paul here can make these adjustments, whether they be accurate or nefarious or both. And if someone's calling an office, like let's say in the medical space, and they said, because I searched for, Delta or Aetna or Humana or whatever, and then the person on the phone is misinformed and your intake is inaccurate, that person's going to go and then say, nope, they didn't take this. And it could have been like a lapse in judgment. And then you lose every single lead locally indefinitely that has that form of insurance,
Yeah, but
which is
also
crazy.
sometimes your intake person doesn't know what insurance you take as a company, and that also hurts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it all kind of comes full circle to even like some internal operations that affects your GDP if people are misinformed or don't even know in the first place.
I might some instances it's not even your GDP, like people are getting this information from another, like a third party website. So I'm talking specifically about insurance here, and then they're like, I saw that you're on there. They call, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about, right? It's because there's like
That's
the take
why you
person,
just need
no
full-time
idea.
marketing in general, because you need
Yeah.
people to be that person that just keeps everything updated and cohesive and accurate.
Yeah, you just need to have sort of a flow of information that's accurate and everyone needs to be on the same page, but particularly your intake person, if you're a small business that you have this, right? You have someone that's sort of a gatekeeper of information, because it can just kill your customer flow coming in.
So we should say PSA, if you're listening, you're a small business owner, you're in charge of GBP and you haven't gone in there in a few months, just pause the episode, go log in, see what people have done to screw up your listing over the past few months, make all the appropriate edits, come back and resume the episode. We'll be here.
We'll wait. Anyways, so
We're
let's
back.
talk about one of the other things that you can optimize in your listing, and that is the description itself. So I definitely think there's a direct correlation with the keywords that you put in your listing and rankings. It's not a huge one, but I think it's there. However, most of the time when you're building additional citations for your listing, citations not as valuable as they used to be for like a lot of reasons, but I saw a study recently from Sterling Sky where keywords in the description of your business listings, especially the really important ones, does have a direct correlation and increases your rankings in the map pack for those keywords. And most of the time, when you're building citations, you're using the same business description that you have on your Google business listing. So that's a really easy thing to optimize. If you're a car accident attorney, you take those cases, put that in there. Put the location that you serve or the locations that you serve around it from that office, optimize it fully for those types of terms, and then make sure it's being used on other listings out there, other citations for your listing.
That sounds good. I may not have any input on that one.
I think that one's just almost a common sense type of thing. But what you don't want to do is use Google's AI to write your business listing. Just don't do it. Never turns out. It looks terrible.
Almost don't want it for anything.
Yeah, you don't want to use it.
The poetry is pretty good.
Yeah, just write some poetry.
It's good at making like birthday cards.
Oh yeah, instead of writing it yourself, just have AI write it. It makes sense. But yeah, that's one of the things. It doesn't take very long. You're only talking about, you know, like a paragraph basically, that you're fitting in with keywords. So absolutely do optimize that, and you're going to see a benefit. And the last thing, which I think deserves its own episode, is review signals. We're going to talk a little bit more on another episode about generating reviews, and some of the stuff that we've seen and the other websites that are now important for reviews. But just have them. We know for sure there are certain business verticals where you're going to be filtered out if you don't have enough reviews. So you won't be 100% filtered out. You might just rank directly in front of your building if someone's sitting there, but you're not going to rank, you know, 3 miles away for any type of competitive term. Every industry is a little bit different on what you need to get. But what you really can do is look at how, you know, the big dog competitor that's ranking for what you want to rank for, that has the 100% share of voice around you, how many reviews do they have, and what's the frequency of the reviews coming in? And you want to copy that, right? Most of the time, it's like you're building up and then you're going to hit a certain number and then you're going to see rankings come up out of nowhere, right? So you're like pretty much didn't show at all, didn't exist. You hit this, boom, you're going to be around like a 40% share of voice, and it's going to continually go up from there. You're not going to see like a massive jump again like that from, you know, from hitting that initial number. But you need to just regularly be generating reviews similar to the competitors in your industry are.
Sure. And we've seen, it seems arbitrary, and it's a form of like ranking gating, but there are numbers that it just is. Yesterday was 11 reviews. Today it's 12. And that was 100% what it was, 100% certainty, or, you know, 24 reviews, 26.
Yeah, now it's like 25.
Yeah. And that number continues to increase. And I agree that we'll dedicate some time specifically to that. Because, you know, review velocity is the first thing that I've ever heard it this year, or not in 2024, but in the past 12 months. And yeah, it's not just the number of reviews, but then how often you get them, and then what the context is. And if you, I think at some point, I haven't even thought about this. I can't imagine that the Google weight, like the quality of the review based off of, I mean, reviews from a local guide wouldn't count for more. That doesn't seem to make any sense, but maybe they'll stick for longer or have a higher likelihood.
Yeah. I don't think they hold any more weight than any other review, but they definitely usually get approved and stick. So you see less of those being removed for whatever reason.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But
why don't we spend just a couple minutes talking about what you believe are myths, or yes, things that are just what your SEOs, your agency is pushing towards you that seems like an inordinate amount of time for little or absolutely no value?
Yeah, that's a great segue to this. So I'll start right off the bat. Geo-optimized images doesn't work. There's some stuff you can do to your images.
Did they work?
I don't think they ever worked. I think they work in a different way than what people think that they're going to work. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff that you can put in an image. There's schema that you can build out in an image that's like local schema for your business. And that image, they can then be used on other websites, right? So that is a thing that does work. What doesn't work is like changing like the geo coordinates on an image and uploading it to your listing, right? Mm. It doesn't do anything. I don't think having images of your particular products has a difference in like your rankings at all. I think maybe it's like users are enjoying it, so you might want to have it for that. And just so you have a complete listing, and when people are looking up stuff about your business, they can see the stuff that you offer. But there is no direct ranking correlation between Google business images and having better rankings in that area, unfortunately. But that one can just be put to bed right now. It doesn't do anything. You're wasting your time.
So good when SEOs are talking about it, like, I'm gonna alter the geos, I'm gonna enter, there's all this metadata that's in the back, and I'm gonna use a tool to manipulate it.
All the XF data. Yeah. So you do still need to edit that with some other tools to do schema within the images, but just that bare bones, I'm gonna edit the, you know, the longitude and latitude of it isn't going to do anything for you, unfortunately.
What about posts? That is always a common question.
So I don't think posts have a direct correlation either. They may have like a secondary one where it could cause people to interact with your listing more, right? So we do know that behavior signals is a ranking factor. It's like 8% based on recent studies, but it doesn't have, you know, if anything that you could just easily do and get ratings from, Google isn't going to let you do that. So it's just like QA, right? Or responding to reviews with keywords in it. Neither of those things are going to help you rank better for those keywords, right? If you can just do it yourself for the most part and easily try and spam out something like that, Google is just going to make it not be a ranking factor. And so we've seen that there's zero correlation between the QA that you can have for like a location and the post. However, posts, I think, are going away probably in the next 6 or 7 months.
Oh, crap. And where are they going?
I think it's just going to disappear as a function within your listing, and they're just going to show social media posts, right? So that's why they did that whole push to add your social media listings to your profile, which you can do, right? And they're going to pull in certain posts from those onto your listing so people can see it.
Shoot, I thought we were going back to Google Plus.
Oh, man. The old days of Google, the great wasteland of Google Plus, man. I remember people always feeling like, we got to make it. We got to put the link to our Google Plus on our website.
That was a little bit of a sadder time to be
an SEO.
And then the last question I have for you is that it was somewhat popular, even though there wasn't a lot of data to back it up, to do link building specifically to the GMB, find like the official profile URL and actually link build there. We know that on page building authority there is part of the strategy. But what do you think about forms of links to the profile itself?
Link signals are a ranking factor for sure.
For the profile itself, for the GMB link itself?
I do believe to the profile themselves. And I believe that map embeds to the profile themselves have an increase, will increase your rankings.
So that's a part of the strategy.
Yeah. I mean, usually they're used on your own website, though. And it's a signal that's an on-page signal, right? Used to,
That is a form of link building.
Yeah, but I think map embeds still do play a role, I think, in increasing your rankings for like your map pack. I don't know how much it is. I don't know if it's particularly a considerable one anymore. But I do know there is some still there. I'd like to do a test on that one actually this year and see how much it affects it.
It's one of those things where it may be between marginal and decent, but it's something you wouldn't want to postpone doing necessarily or put on hiatus as a part of the strategy.
Yeah, I would still just keep it as a part of it for sure, because it's not going to hurt anything.
I'm content with that list of optimizations.
I mean, I think we've covered pretty much everything that you can do there.
Just on the profile itself.
Just on the profile, right? So if you kind of master some of these things and really optimize it, you're going to see an increase. So hopefully you can use some of these tips and actually apply it in real life to your listings and see some good rankings increases. And if you do, please, you know, feel free to hit Ryan and I up at seosdeadandotherwise@gmail.com. We'd love to hear if it worked for you or what kind of increases that you saw or if something crazy happened. We'd love to hear about that too.
For the better.
Yeah, the better. But with that, I hope you guys really enjoyed the episode. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe anywhere that you listen to this podcast at. And with that, I'm Paul Warren.
And I'm Ryan Klein.
And this has been another episode of SEO's Dead and Other Lies.
See you later.
Bye.